Welcome to Chapter 9.
My first stock tip, and it came from a very unlikely source. One day, a long time ago, I got a phone call. When I picked the phone up, it was my father, and he simply made a comment. He said, "I have seen the future of printing." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes." He says, "I want you to look up Goodway Printing and tell me if they're a public company." So I did look it up, and it was. A little background information first. My dad was the head machinist at the Philadelphia Bulletin. Therefore, he was responsible for the care and maintenance of all kinds of mechanical devices. I remember when we used to go and visit my aunt and uncle in Jersey, my uncle used to collect toys, wind-up toys, all kinds of toys. Whenever we showed up, he had the broken ones lined up so my father could fix them. It's quite a sight to see. Goodway Printing, a very small company in a very little, like a row kind of a store at 40th and Chestnut, had in their possession a brand new piece of equipment called the photon machine. And from what my father told me, was the photon machine is basically going to replace the linotype machines and other mechanisms for printing. Not just newspapers, but the printed word. So it turns out, I looked it up. They were trading on the American Exchange. The stock was at $7. My father and I, up to that point, I had just started graduate school. I was recently married with two very, very small children. And it turns out that he and I have never, up to that point, excuse me, I lost track here. At that point, my dad and I had never bought a stock. So, when we found out it was $7, I had $1,400 in the bank from wedding gifts from a few years before that I was saving for an opportunity. Here was the opportunity. I bought 200 shares of stock at $7. My dad bought stock. I don't recall how many shares or what, but he and I both bought the stock. Now, in the meantime, shortly thereafter, Goodway Printing moved, within a year, moved from this little location, like a glorified store in West Philadelphia, to a very, very nice plant, you could almost call it, on Roosevelt Boulevard in the Northeast. And people familiar with Philadelphia know that there are a lot of businesses up there of that kind. It was about 10 or 20 times larger than the location at 40th and Chestnut. So anyway, I drove up there and got to meet, they were brothers, Donald and Burl Walk. And as what I found out during my entire early career, and later on even too, is that people with small businesses, if you take an interest in them, they're proud of these businesses, and they bend over backwards. You know, they don't care that you own 200 shares and you're a graduate student. They don't care about that. They appreciate somebody taking interest. Like I said in one of my previous podcasts, it's no different than a child, really, in many, many ways. So, as I meet the brothers and told them my story and, you know, and said how my dad, you know, they remembered him, and they commented that, you know, the boy knew his stuff as far as the mechanical side. So, when it came time for lunch, just to show you how things work out, Donald Walk said to me, "Listen, you want to join me for lunch and we can continue the conversation." So I was, you know, taken back. I didn't, what the hell? So I said, "Sure." It turns out, we get in the car, we go to the Northeast Airport. We get in his private plane. He's got a little plane. I've never been in a little plane. So I'm not big on flying, but back then I didn't care. Anyway, we get in this plane and we go to lunch in New Jersey. And it was the only time I was ever in a private plane, but it really is surrealistic. I've never been in a place that was more soundproof than in a private plane flying. I mean, you hear nothing. It is quiet. So we had lunch, and things just, that was typical. I was to find out that that's the kind, and I became friends with the brothers. My dad, in the meantime, this piece of equipment, they were the first to have it. And it turned out that the bulletin sent my father to Harvard for several months. I remember from Monday through Friday, we would drop him off at the airport and pick him up to learn this piece of equipment, because the company behind it was in that Harvard University complex. So he learned it because the bulletin, he was the one that's basically was the one introduced it to the bulletin and then was responsible for getting it set up and working, even though it was totally different technology. I remember our garage walls had these schematic drawings, which I couldn't make any sense out of one way or the other. In about a year's time, right around the time they moved and things were happening, the stock took off. And I wound up selling the stock at $40, roughly. So I was beside myself. Now, before I conclude this episode, I want to go back to something. Yes, I invested at 7 and it went to 40 and I made a tremendous profit on my first investment. By the way, that hooked me on small companies, obviously. It's like going to the casino. You win the first time. You can't wait to get back. They own you forever. I know, I've been there. But anyway, the opportunity was there. And my dad, well, not a stockbroker, he knew when he asked me, you know, or when he made the statement that he had seen the future printing and it happened to be public, it was a no-brainer. But I still had to invest, basically, at that point, my life savings. So this was not about luck. This was about me taking a shot and with something I believed in, because I knew my father knew his stuff. And certainly, after I met the people and saw, you know, how committed they were, it just was a good feeling all the way around. And again, this was a family business. So that is the summation of my very first stock purchase. The first of three key purchases, but it turned out terrific. So you understand now how a person can start basically from little or nothing, and you have to start somewhere. And, you know, you do your homework, like I said, and then the key, pull the trigger. That is, in my opinion, the single biggest reason why people are not more successful than they are. The refusal to pull the trigger. Not an easy thing to do, I realize, but nonetheless, an essential part of any career that's going to have success embodied in it somehow.
Next up, an unlikely place to find serious opportunity.